This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
So the last little while, Neil and I have gone down a bit of a spiral of the TV show Catfish. Neil put it on one day in the background. It's just like, oh, just throw this on, something playing in the background. And it's consumed our lives.
Yeah.
We're well into it. Neil thinks everyone's a catfish now. He's on the hunt.
Everyone is a catfish.
Meaning? All the filters and everything
Everyone
nowadays.
Uses filters and they don't just upload a photo. They have to edit in some way. So you're a catfish.
Neil's sus of everyone on the internet now. If you have social media, he's on to you, essentially.
I'm not on to you.
Give me a reason.
don't tell me you're not a catfish when your photos are clearly edited.
But I think there's a difference though. Like someone who puts up a photo and like smooths it out a little bit or whatever. But then you have these filters that completely changes how you look. Like you were fucking about on TikTok yesterday. And you put a filter on me and you, and we looked like fucking Instagram models.
Well, I didn't. You did.
Okay.
I looked like I was in the middle of doing my makeup for drag.
You looked stunning. Beautiful, gorgeous, stunning model.
Mm.
But I think that's slightly fitting for today's episode. It's not a catfish, although there is a catfish murder we probably will be covering at some point. Today's episode is a little bit of a mystery.
Wouldn't it have been more fitting to do the catfish murder?
Yeah, but I don't have that written up, so I'm sorry, we're not. Okay. I could have saved it, but it wouldn't have been applicable then. We could still be obsessed with catfish, but...
I can see it because it's so much better than it was with that Cammy.
Yeah, Cammy's great on it. I was never really into catfish. Like the initial...
Back, bitch.
Back, bitch. I'm a Danis, bitch. Love that. Best line. I watched the original documentary and I thought that was brilliant. And it was, you know, it was the kind of compassion side of it. Actually, I haven't watched it in years. I must rewatch it.
I watched it.
It was the compassion side of it, wasn't it? He liked someone, he went to meet her. And then when it turned out it wasn't actually the girl in the photos, he was still like, I understand you need companionship and blah, blah, blah. Now the TV show is very MTV. I mean, that's the network is on. It's very like, what? Oh my God. And you know. But you still end up going to get a... You still end up kind of getting sucked into it, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, definitely.
But yeah, like I said, not that this episode is about catfishing. It's a bit of a mystery, though. There was a bit of digging to find out information about the person in today's story.
Mm.
So today we are going to hear the story of Joyce Carol Vincent.
Don't know that one.
All right, well, let's get into it. So, on the 25th of January in 2006, workers for the North London Housing Association were sent to repossess a bedsit in Woodgreen due to rent arrears. They entered the home to find the TV on, playing BBC One. Christmas presents still laid on the floor. Dishes piled up in the sink. Large amounts of unopened post behind the front door. And the skeletal remains of a woman lying by the sofa.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Her body was so badly decomposed that they could only identify her by dental records being compared to photographs of her smiling. Now, obviously her body had been there for quite some time. Food in the fridge had expiry dates dating back to 2003.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. It's estimated that she died sometime in December 2003. So how had her death gone unnoticed for so long?
See, that's one of my worries for introverts. Because, like a lot of introverts, the way they socialise is just by gaming.
Yeah.
So unless someone who they game with is like, oh, introvert 123 hasn't logged in.
And,
like, no, do you know what I mean?
I do get what you mean, because I'm...
Because their routine is indoors.
Yeah, like, obviously, I go to work and, you know, I have a partner, yourself, as you're aware.
You do.
I do have people around me, but overall, that is more my personality. I'm much more introvert. I'm quite happy being at home in my space.
Yeah.
You know? So to start with, we're going to take a look into the background of Joyce. So Joyce Carol Vincent was born on the 19th of October, 1965, in Hammersmith, London. Her parents had emigrated to England, her father of African descent and her mother of Indian. Joyce also had four sisters and she was the youngest. When Joyce was only 11 years old, her mother passed away. And that was something that was said to have had quite an effect on Joyce. Her mother seemed to have been a really positive influence on her. It was said that when her father had broken the news to Joyce about her mother's death, he just kind of blurted it out in a very matter-of-fact way. Which
for just ripped the band-aid off, like.
Yeah, which for an 11-year-old child who was very close to this person,
yeah,
no good. Her relationship with her father was said to have been very strained. She wasn't keen on him or his behaviour. In fact, she would later go on to tell people that her father had died in the year 2001, when in reality he died in 2004, actually after Joyce had passed away. So after the death of her mother, her four sisters took on the responsibility of raising her. It was said that Joyce always came across as having been well brought up with very good manners. And I would imagine that was something that was very important to her mother, as she'd also had Joyce take elocution lessons.
Well, that's speaking, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just learning how to speak more properly.
Like me?
Like yourself, yeah, you could teach it. My great-granny actually used to teach elocution lessons. Yeah. Fun fact.
I don't think it's something you can learn. Like,
what do you mean? You have to go to school and learn English.
Yeah.
Can't be taught, unteachable. So now moving into her adulthood, someone who seemed to have been a solid source of support and love in her life was a man by the name of Martin. And it seems as though he really was her ride or die.
I don't trust him.
They had dated for 3 years, but regardless of whether they were together or not through the years, he definitely cared about her intensely. There was one night when Martin and Joyce had went out together, and she was said to have been wearing the skin-tight dress, you know, really like sprayed on type of look.
Yeah, yeah.
And it said that everyone was in awe of her. She was said to have been the type of person that not only was she incredibly attractive, but there was just something about her. She was described as being a lovely, happy person, and people just gravitated towards her. She was confident yet down to earth. She was also very clever, came across as very well educated, although she did not have any qualifications, no GCSEs.
I have.
In the UK, like, would you say it's expected to have, like, GCSEs?
Yes.
Like, that's kind of like a base level of education for majority of people.
Yes. If, like, even people who are failing classes will have GCSEs, usually.
I don't have a leaving cert, what up?
Look, I sat
it's a
about...
shit brag, isn't it? I'm not well educated, what up?
I sat 7 GCSEs and I think I got 1 or 2.
What, you failed all the rest of them?
Pretty much.
Or just didn't do well?
One of them, right, and everyone at school found this hilarious. So an F is obviously shit, it's a fail.
Mm-hmm.
But what they tried telling us at school is an F is still a pass.
What?
It's still a grade.
It's not a pass, though. That's...
No.
Okay.
Mine gets better. So, I can't remember if it were for religious education. I got a U.
Unfinished.
Ungradable.
Ungradable. So, like, we take the piss saying unteachable. You were literally unteachable.
One of my grades was ungradable.
What does that mean? Did you just not write anything down, or was just all shite? Like, did you, like, skip a line so each answer was for the previous one or whatever? Is that what happened?
I can't remember.
Sounds like something you would do. I fully believe you here.
No, because do you know when there's like the multiple choice ones where it's like...
Oh, did you do like alternating?
I just had a system, yeah. Yeah. So I'd just do like...
A, B, D,
A,
B,
B, A, C, B, A, C, B, A, C, B, A, C.
Okay. At one point in her life, she was living with musician Kirk Thorne. And while living there, there was a lot of people coming and going, you know, a lot of musicians and things of that nature.
Yeah.
A more relaxed atmosphere. And she was said to have fit in really well with them. And there was a story told of how one day she dressed up as a French maid and acted as the maid for everyone in the house, just like serving them tea and just, you know. So obviously she was up for a laugh and she was having the crack.
Yeah.
But on the other side of that, you know, dressing up in a risque outfit. When Kirk's nieces and nephews came to visit, she was amazing with them. She was supposed to be really great with kids and just, you know, kind of like I said, she was just like a happy, bubbly person. People gravitate towards her. She seemed to be able to just fit in with whatever kind of situation you put her in.
She like just, me.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I said that to you when you worked in retail. If you had someone like outgoing, loud, whatever, you were able to match that energy.
Yeah.
Whereas if you had the more introverted, quiet, shy person come in, yeah, you were more respectful of their boundaries.
Yeah. But also with kids, I'm...
Oh, you're great with kids.
I'm better with kids than you, aren't I, really?
Right. For anyone who's ever watched, what is it? How I Met Your Mother. There's a scene in it where, like, Robin puts her hand out for the baby to sniff her hand.
Oh, yeah.
That's basically me. I don't really know what to do. I'm not great with them. One thing she was not great at, though, despite the costume, was keeping the house clean. She was said to have been a bit work shy when it came to the housework, going as far as leaving dirt to build up in the tub, you know, to the point where she leaves a ring.
What tub?
The bathtub in their home.
Ugh.
Yeah, this was the Kirk guy who shared the home with. He said that, yeah, it was literally like a ring of dirt around the tub. So she was not the most keen on hard graft, giving the tub a good scrub.
Yeah. But it's not actually hard graft if you...
keep on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that Joyce wasn't about it. She was said to have been a very good singer, and she did in fact like the idea of pursuing that at one point, even making a tape. She had a great voice, she was beautiful, and she had star quality, the whole package. Something else about Joyce was she seemed to adapt to the lifestyles of the people she surrounded herself with. Seeing, like I said, depending on the situation, not just that, but literally forming into that group.
Yeah.
Which, you know, with that, Joyce did move around a lot and changed her residence quite a lot. Similar for her jobs, it was said if there was some sort of an issue, she'd be quick to just leave rather than try and face that issue. Described as being like a drifter, she could be hard to get a hold of because of how frequently parts of her lives changed up. She could also be secretive about where she was or where she was going. She also didn't really seem to have any lifelong friends. Her circles would change depending on where she worked or who she was going out with. Same as I said before, it was just kind of adapting to whatever her surroundings were. I mean, the other side of that is, yeah, maybe she was changing up all the time, or maybe she just chose to keep the grouping separate.
Mm.
We've talked about this before. I think some people think, oh, well, that's fake. No, I think people have different parts of their personalities, and someone who you maybe play video games with isn't the same as the person you do, I don't know, name a hobby.
Airsoft.
Airsoft. Not the same as the person you do airsoft with, or maybe you like fucking knitting. Maybe you like airsoft on a Saturday and knitting on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the same groupings of people with the same interests, just because you cross over on them.
Yeah, well, I had the same, even with gaming, like on my Discord, I'd have my friends list. But there'd be certain friends who I only played Rust with. There were certain friends I'd only play GTA with.
I think, particularly in true crime, we see a lot. People have different aspects to them. It's not just because you know them from like a work capacity. Oh, he's such a hard worker. Yes, but he was also a serial rapist or what have you.
Yeah.
You know? So, along with the secrecy of her life, her friends also wondered why none of them had ever met her family, especially her sister's kids. It seemed very odd to them because she loved kids and was so good with them. Why weren't they ever really around, you know?
Yeah.
But it was one of those things, you know, you might wonder about it, but then you just move on. You don't necessarily give it a lot of thought. You know, maybe there'd been a falling out. It's not their business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, given the frequent changes in her lifestyle, the level of secrecy she kept, it's not hard to understand how it could have been difficult to keep in touch with Joyce. I mean, she did definitely let people into her life, but only to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Maybe the reasons for what seems like constant changes was because of her own struggles. One of her friends said it was as though she could never live in the moment. She was always waiting for the bad come, which I can understand. I'm always like, this is going to go to shit.
Yeah.
It's not going to be good. You're much more of an optimistic, brighter person, aren't you, Neil? Very open.
I am, but you keep dragging me down. I was an extrovert.
Yeah.
And then I met you.
I always describe you as...
I had nice olive skin.
What's your skin tone got to do with it?
Because you keep me out of the sun by keeping me indoors.
Excuse me, when it gets to summer, I'm about it going out. You're like, oh, it's too hot. I can't, it's too hot.
Might be too hot.
Well, I always describe you as an extroverted introvert.
I don't think that's a thing.
What I mean by that is you'll go out in a social situation, be great, have, you know, like say if you're at work, you could be chatting to everyone, great, blah, 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 blah. After a certain amount of time has passed, you're like, right, I am done. I want to go home now and be in my cocoon.
Yeah, like when we're at work, you look at me like, how's that not exhausting?
Yeah, like I find social interactions very tiring. You know what I mean? But you feed off it, thrive off it to a certain point.
Hmm.
And then you're like, right, that's enough. You just shut down after a certain
point. Enough's enough.
Yeah. So moving forward to the latter years of her life, in August of 2001, Joyce actually called Martin in the middle of the night and she asked him if she could stay at his house for a week or so. And of course, Martin being her rock, he said yes. Now, it was a bit longer than a week or so. Joyce ended up staying on Martin's sofa for about 6 months.
That's a bit more than a week or so.
You're taking a piss now, Joyce.
That's why she said a week or so instead of a week or two.
Yeah. Like, she's acting the bollocks a bit. But again, Martin, ride or die, of course you can stay with me. I'll look after you. Another incident that took place in 2001 was when Joyce's friend saw her on the street. She called her name. Joyce lifted her head, looked up towards her, only to put her head back down and pick up the pace as she walked away.
Just took off running.
Yeah, basically. She clearly acknowledged she saw her and was like, no, not today. Not dealing with this. Also in 2001, Joyce left her job that she'd been in for 4 years. She had worked there in the Treasury Department. And the impression people got of her during her time there was a happy, bubbly person, the same as previously said about her.
Mm-hmm.
But the reasons she gave for leaving were conflicting. She told some that she was leaving for another job after being headhunted. And others, she told of how she was taking some time off to go travelling. Now, after Joyce had moved out of Martin's, a letter came for her. Martin admits that he opened the letter. It was in hopes that he could find some sort of address or contact point for her.
That's illegal.
Well, he shouldn't have done it, but, you know, again, these people, they didn't know where she was from one second to the next, and he just, you know.
Yeah, but you can't break the law.
No, I know, you shouldn't have done it, but. So, like I said, he opened the letter, but instead of finding some sort of address or contact, it was a wage slip. Now, the wage slip was for her job as a cleaner. Now, nothing wrong with that, fair folks to her, but definitely wouldn't have been Joyce's first choice. Remember, she wasn't keen on cleaning.
Yeah. I wonder if most cleaners are like that. So like when I was a mechanic, my car was a shed. Like,
yeah,
I couldn't be arsed working on my own car.
A lot of chefs say that as well.
Yeah.
They spend all day cooking that when they get home, so you just like, fuck something in the oven quickly.
So I wonder if a cleaner gets home and they're like, fuck that.
So the thing about it is as well with her cleaning job, during the time she lived with Martin, he was still under the impression that she was working in the city. Which this starts to make sense to Martin that it was all a lie because she wasn't as dressed up as she usually would be. Joyce was very proud in her appearance. It was very important to her. But even with that, it still broke his heart to know that she didn't feel comfortable enough to tell him what work she was actually doing. So that's a little bit of the background of Joyce's life and how you can see she was kind of the social butterfly, but then there was other sides of it where it's closed off, secretive, what's really going on. She's just kind of a bit of a mystery. So some theories as to why this happened. Her neighbours didn't really know her and therefore they didn't really notice her absence. Now, the smell of decomp, that's a big one, surely. Yeah. Also, the window in her flat was open this whole time.
Oh.
So the smell would have been strong, surely, yeah?
Yeah.
Apparently, the smell was attributed to the bins underneath the apartment.
But I thought decomp was one of them smells, it's like...
unforgettable.
Yeah, once you smell it, that's it.
Yeah, it seems odd. So let's say...
So what the fuck was in the bin?
Well, this is it. So if the smell was that bad from the bins, surely they would have complained and said, you need to get the bins and all cleaned. The whole area needs to be cleaned out. They do that, the smell doesn't go away. Surely it's not an investigation or something, but there wasn't. Lynn Featherstone, who was an MP for the area that Joyce lived in, she actually wrote to the council, the housing association and the utility companies asking the question, why did no one notice anything why did nothing flag up? And the responses she received to all these letters she sent was either no response at all or just some half-assed answer.
What, they didn't care?
They just, I mean, I'm guessing they dropped the ball and just didn't really want to, yeah. So like we discussed, Joyce moved around a hell of a lot. And with all the moving around, Joyce eventually ended up in accommodation for victims of domestic abuse. And that's the bedsit where she was actually found. Now, no one in her life knew of any abuse she was suffering at the hands of a partner. But then again, is that necessarily something that a person would broadcast? Particularly someone like Joyce, who had been somewhat secretive during her life. I mean, the argument for abuse, it would make sense why she become so isolated and alone.
Yeah.
Even down to seeing a friend on the street from years ago and just being like, nope, not dealing with it.
Well, they're embarrassed as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
And yeah.
Now, do you want to elaborate? Or?
No.
Now, jumping back to 2001, you know, when she rang Martin asking if she could stay with him for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He recalled asking her, you know, is everything okay? Are you in trouble? Or, you know. And I was watching him being interviewed about this. And thinking back, he initially said no. He then pauses, stops and thinks. And he says to himself, or did she? And it was one of those moments where he looked at him and he was really trying to rack his brains because he's trying to figure out how this happened himself.
Yeah.
Did she mention to me some sort of issue in her life and I kind of maybe didn't pay enough attention or, you know. And if Joyce had become completely isolated due to an abusive relationship, who were the Christmas presents for? So if we're going to go down that route,
yeah.
Who was she buying presents for?
There's no tags on them.
I'm guessing not, because they would have been able to say, oh, that's her niece, that's her nephew, you know. There had also been speculation as to her childhood by the people who knew her. They wondered if there had been any abuse, adding to the reason why she was somewhat of a mystery to the people around her, which again adds up.
Yeah.
She wasn't a heavy drinker or a drug user, and the police also ruled out foul play. So what happened? How did Joyce die? Joyce did have asthma, and it's thought it could have been from an asthma attack, or possibly from complications due to a peptic ulcer, which she had sought treatment for in November 2003. Now, Joyce had spent 2 days in hospital after she had vomited blood. Something that's a bit sad about this situation, again, she was isolated, she was alone at this point in her life. While she was in the hospital, she listed her bank manager as her next of kin.
Oh.
So she really didn't have anyone around her.
Yeah.
Martin talked about years previous when he was with Joyce and how Joyce had actually wanted to marry him. But he had said no because, you know, he was young and he just wasn't quite ready to settle down.
Yeah.
Martin has since said that he thinks of Joyce constantly and that he thinks that she was the love of his life. Joyce was only 38 years old when she died. And I think this story is truly one to remind us to check in with our loved ones or possibly if you're struggling yourself, if possible, try to reach out to someone.
Yeah, but just remember when it's involving an introvert, text them, don't call them.
Yeah. Take it slow, lads. Take it easy.
Do you know the funny thing is, like, say if you have got a friend who's an introvert and for some reason you haven't heard from them in about a week.
They're living their best life.
If you text them and say, is everything okay? I haven't heard from you in a week. Yeah, I'm fine.
It's one of those things.
They'd actually be put out by the fact, but what, why do you think something's wrong with me?
You've interrupted my time. I mean, this is the sad thing as well about it, because although she had become more withdrawn in her final years, people who remember the Joyce from years ago,
yeah,
she was out partying and with these musicians and having a good time and all that. When the story about Joyce Vincent got published in papers, people who knew her from years ago didn't realise it was the same Joyce.
Yeah.
They just didn't think that's how her life would end. So a quote from one of her friends named John, she died of neglect. We all loved her, but not enough to stop her dying. Martin also said, you look back and think, I wish I'd asked more. Wish I'd understood more. And again, it's the same thing. It's if you can reach out to someone, if you're struggling, please try to reach out to someone else for a hand.
So obviously there's nothing from an autopsy because of how far into decomp she was.
Exactly. They couldn't really gain a lot of information.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the whole thing of, yeah, okay, so let's say it was as simple as domestic abuse, and she'd become isolated. We see it all the time, you know.
Mm.
People can wrap their heads around that. But then the Christmas presents for people, who were the presents for? Or was this like a tradition she had to buy these and then not send them, or, you know?
Could have been decorative.
Could have been. It's all a bit of a mystery, really. It's a very interesting case. It's a very sad case. And I think, yeah, like we said, it's one of those to kind of make you realise to reach out to people, keep in contact.
And like, I'm not saying this to be funny in any way, but if she was lonely, like, there's an episode of Mr. Bean where he writes himself Christmas cards.
Mm-hmm.
And sends them to the posters.
Just so he can receive them.
Yeah. And he opens them and he hangs them up.
Yeah.
Like, is she giving herself something to open?
Possibly.
Christmas Day?
Possibly.
Like, you thought I was going to go, like, off the rails there as soon as I mentioned Mr. Bean. You thought I was going to...
No, you brought it back round. You kept it connected.
But yeah, like, it could be. She might... You know, you enjoy Christmas. You enjoy everything about Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
She enjoyed opening presents. No one bought her any presents, so she bought herself some, wrapped them, and put them there to open.
Possibly. There is also footage of Joyce. Now, it's very small. They include it in the documentary about her called Dreams of a Life. It was when Nelson Mandela was in London, and you can see her in the crowd, and for like a split second, you see her turn, and you can see her face. And it's one of those kind of odd, kind of eerie things. You know what I mean? Because it's the whole thing of searching for information. And obviously this woman who's making the documentary was watching this over and over again for a glimpse of her, and she finally found her.
Yeah.
But yeah. So around the time I was writing up this case, my mum actually told me of a friend of hers who had passed away. And this friend, his fear was to die alone. That was the one thing he didn't want to happen. And unfortunately, he did live on his own.
Yeah.
And... that ended up being what happened. So, again...
Can you imagine how scared it'd be?
Yeah, it's heartbreaking to hear that. And I know we've already said it multiple times, but again, please reach out to people if you can and where you can. So, yeah, it's a very interesting one. It's also kind of an advisory thing, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know? So, with that out the way... I'll tell you an oddity.
I don't like the look on your face.
It's not. I'll just jump into it. Jacob's Well. Have you ever heard of it?
No. I don't know. I might have. And then you'll start to... I'll say no. Because
I'm going to stop asking that because I feel like you always think it's a setup.
No. Because you say the name and it's like, no. But then you'll start telling me about it and be like, oh shit, yeah, I do know about that. So I don't recognise the name.
So have at it.
Tell me more.
So Jacob's Well is located in Texas. And
no, I don't know that.
Like, I advise you all to look it up. It's beautiful. It's stunning. It's gorgeous.
A well.
Yeah, it's amazing. Here's the thing about it, right?
Bit of stones in a circle.
No, look it up. Right. Neil's just having a quick look at the well itself.
Raft Drum.
No, Texas.
Holy shit.
Mm.
I want to go swimming there.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yeah, it does attract quite a lot of tourists.
Yeah, there's people swimming in the photos.
Beautiful looking. It's also caused the death of at least 12 people.
Should I swim into the bottom?
Yes. The reason for these deaths is
why?
That...
Why?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Neil. The reason for these deaths is that underneath the water, there is a cave system. So the opening of the well is only about 12 foot in diameter, but it's 140 feet deep. And so far, it's known to be about 4,500 feet long. So there are three different tunnels. A tunnel, the primary route, which includes parts where divers would have to actually squeeze through. Okay, so...
Seems like a lot of effort.
It does, doesn't it? I'm very lazy.
I'd probably swim, right, if I could be asked to do anything, swim to the bottom to see if there's any loot. You're laughing at?
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, the A tunnel, yeah, you can dive it, but there's parts where it's very narrow.
Yeah.
B tunnel, which is just the secondary route, and C tunnel, which is described as not diveable.
And people have dived.
I'm guessing, like, you just, well, I don't know. I haven't been down there. I have no intentions of going down there. Now, to do this dive, you also have to get approval from Hayes County. One of the main problems that people seem to run into is that because that passageway is so narrow, people actually have to take off their tanks to get through it. The oxygen tanks.
I think the whole point of diving, if you have to take your tank off, you don't do it.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't advise that. I've said advised a lot in this episode. I've said at least four times, I think.
Be advised.
Be advised. Okay. So in 1979, two people got stuck down in the caves and died. One of the... What?
And died?
You want me to say it differently?
No, it's...
One of the bodies was discovered when it was actually flushed out of the well in 1981. So that's a couple years on.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The other body was still in the well until it was able to be recovered in the year 2000.
Fucking hell.
Mm. So... That's what I've got for you in Jacob's Well. Just a little dive into Jacob's Well. Do you like that? Did you get that?
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I got the pun. Yeah. Well done. Brilliant. But looking at the photos, I would go there and swim.
It's beautiful.
It does look really nice.
Yeah. But just to like sit by it, I'm not going underneath there.
No,
like,
I'd go in it.
Looking at the photo, anyone who has a fear of water is going to shit themselves looking at that. Because it's just a big hole in the ground.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
No good.
Yeah. No, I'd get in and I'd swim. And like I said, I'd swim to the bottom to look for loot. But that's as far as I'm going.
What? Like, I've just told you at least 12 people have died.
Yeah, but that's them going through the tunnels and stuff. Not from them just diving to the bottom.
See, I'd be very nervous because it's so narrow at the top.
Do you know what people do at wells?
What?
They make a wish and chuck money in. Where do you think that money's
so
going?
So you're going down there to find, like...
Loot!
Loot!
I said loot, didn't I?
Okay. A few doubloons.
Right,
so the moral of the story, lads, is don't go diving in Jacob's Well.
No, you can leave go diving.
Alone. Are you a diver?
But you don't go in tunnels.
Are you... are you an experienced diver? Or are you just being like, have the crack?
I can swim underwater.
That's not a diver. That's someone just going underwater. You gotta know what you're doing with diving.
Agree to disagree.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.